be attentive this morning. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to talk about Elijah a little bit this morning with the Lord's help. And I'm not wanting much for titling sermons and doing that. I'm really getting used to that. I don't do that a lot. But with my brother back there with the recorder, he's keeping on me, praise God, wanting to know what the titles of sermons are going to be. So if I would entitle this sermon this morning, I want it to be Losing Sight of God in the Dark. Losing the sight of God in the dark. You know, sometimes, as I said earlier, we struggle often. We have our own fights. We have our own wars. We have our own circumstances in life that has come upon us. Our circumstance may not be like our other brother or our other sister's circumstance. We all must fight the good fight of faith and how it has come and how it has dealt out in our lives. But know this, that there is no temptation that is given to man that is common, that God has not allowed a way for us to escape it. A way for us to endure it. He provides for us that way of escape that we can endure such trials of life, such hardships, and such things that we sometimes overwhelm us. And when we look at Elijah this morning in this chapter, I want you to know that this was a man of God, a mighty prophet of God. And I'm sure that's not anything new to any of you who read the Bible, and especially if you've read anything about Elijah, you will know that he was indeed a man used mightily of God. But we can be used of God and do wonders for him and do the work and the service for him and his church out in the labor fields that we labor in. And even in the midst of all of our laboring and all of our toiling, all of our victories, all of our sometimes setbacks, and in the midst of all of it, if we're not careful, we can lose sight of God. Amen. You think, Brother Cottle, how is it possible to lose sight of God when you are warring and doing the work of God and doing the will of God, and you know you're there? Well, I want you to look at this man this morning. Right. Because Elijah was one that he himself toiled, he himself labored, he himself served God, he himself was abundant and would declare unto God in this chapter, I alone serve thee. Everyone else has forsaken you, God. You know, have you ever had a pity party with God? Have you ever, you know, felt sorry for yourself because you feel like you're the only one out there that's doing anything for God, and everyone else, our own family members, no one seems to understand us? We feel like we're alone in this battle and we can't go any further. I mean, we get to the very point like Elijah that says, ah, just take my life, God. It's over. Yeah. I'm talking about Elijah here. Yeah. I'm talking about a man that broke the back of Baalism, that broke the back of false worship. I'm talking about a man who came up and fought against Ahab and Jezebel. Those who were the epitome of the evil of that day. Those who were wicked in heart and wicked in thoughts. And every thought of their imagination was always evil. They worship Baal. They worship the god of Baal. They worship, and this Jezebel, she had 850 prophets of Baal herself. Yes. Wow. 850 prophets of Baal that were at her beck and command. But this is what Elijah will come and fight against. But I want us to see how God deals with Elijah. I want us to look at the problem. I want us to look at the provision of God this morning, and I want us to look at the practicalities that we need to see in this. And lastly, I want us to see and get our focus off the past. Come on. So let's go first of all, if you would, let's look at the problem. In chapter 19, Elijah's having a fit. I don't know how else to say it. He's having a little fit, folks. He's tired. He's fainting, as it were, from the battling. And I want to give us some encouragement this morning, how God deals with him at the time it sounds hopeless for him, at the time it sounds that he can't go any further. I want you to see how tender and loving God is to the man of God. And before I go any further, I want you to know something. In your battles, in your struggles, God is tender with you. God is compassionate with you. God knows you are frail. God knows you are dust. And yet he loves you and he has tender, loving, only care and desire for your life. So when we look at this and we'll see. Chapter 19, go with me to verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and it came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Wow. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down and again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" What are you doing, Elijah? Have you ever had God come to you and say, "Madam, sir, what are you doing? Where are you? What is going on with you in this, in essence? What's going on here, Elijah?" Come on, church. Yeah. Well, I want us to see the problem is, first of all, it's a physical exhaustion with the man of God. Have you ever worked so hard that you become exhausted? I labor, most men here labor in their jobs, and you know what it is, men and ladies as well, and the work that they do, to get exhausted, to get physically tired. I want you to know something. When you work for God, and when you are under God's hand, and you're laboring for the kingdom of God, it is an exhausting time. Whew. My, even the disciples couldn't even pray an hour with the Lord when he asked them to pray for him when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were exhausted physically through the day that Jesus gave them, and they could not even pray with him for an hour. They went with all heart to pray. They went with all intention to pray, but they found themselves fast asleep in no time. Have you ever been there? I've been there. I'll be quite honest with you. I've got down many times and I've been so tired working and laboring for the kingdom of God and serving the Lord. I went to pray, and there praying, I begin to talk with the Lord, and there talking, and the next thing I know, I fell asleep. I've done that. I have literally done that. And waking up, going, "Whoop, whoop, whoop, sorry, Lord. I fell asleep on you." I'm the only one that's done that? I need to repent, I guess. I'll tell you the truth. But I've done it. I'll be quite honest with you. It's just because of physical exhaustion. And as well with that physical exhaustion with Elijah, there was spiritual disappointment combined at one time. Yeah. So he's not only physically exhausted. Through chapter 18, if you just go back, he has that of Mount Carmel. There, well, he has the the prophets of Baal, and there he contends with them at Mount Carmel, and there fire comes down, consumes the offering. You know the story. And God, there through the minimal prayer of Elijah, 63 words or 66 words, it wasn't a very long prayer. He calls fire down to show them who is God. Let the true God be shown by fire. And God comes down with fire, consumes the altar, licks up the ditches. It has a field with water, and everything is taken by God. Woo! There the people see it. There they cry out, oh God, he is our God. Hallelujah. There is none but him. And there then Elijah says, gather up all these Baal prophets. Don't let any of them escape. And he has a slaughter there of the prophets. Amen. Now, you don't think that's hard to do. You don't think it takes exertion. You don't think he's battling against forces and powers. Let me tell you, he had to go through and exterminate all the prophets of Baal. He's tired. He's fought. He's gotten victory from God. Yes, amen. As it were, he was on a mountaintop. Amen. Come on, I want you to see this. I want you to know that he's ready to run, as it were. I mean, he's the one that has told Ahab, you better get on home because God is fixing to send a flood. Hallelujah. God is fixing to send the water to us. And then he girds up his loins and he outruns Ahab. Woo! I'm telling you, the Spirit of God was on him. He is physically tired.
Right.
I want you to know, whenever you battle against principalities and powers and wickedness, you get tired, church. If you're battling and you're pulling down strongholds and you're pulling these things down. Now, look, I'm not talking about going to God and praying and say, Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. I'm talking about going to the Lord in prayer and say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen.
Yes.
Forgive us our trespasses.
Yes.
Lead us not into the ways of danger. Keep us out of the path of danger. Church, I want you to know something. Elijah was a man of prayer.
Right.
Oh, he's spoken much. The very effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much before God. And God was with the man of God. He anointed the man of God when he had to do his work. But after the work was done, there comes an exhaustion. There comes, as it were, he's disappointed. He thought maybe by chance, maybe Jezebel, maybe Ahab, maybe all of Israel would have repented and come to God. I'm sure that was his hope. Right? I mean, I don't think it's Ahab's will. I mean, Elijah's will. Oh, I just can't wait to kill people. I just can't wait to kill these prophets. That's not the way he is. He has a heart of God, I believe. He has the heart of God. He's in tune with God.
Right.
He knows what God wants.
Yeah.
And he wants God to be over all Israel. He wants God to be worshiped, and I'm afraid he's disappointed at this time, because it won't be very long that God will, Jezebel will come, and the word will come to him and say, what you have done to my prophets before the sun goes down, I'm going to do to you.
All right. Come on, brother. Go ahead. Preach.
Come on now, church.
Yeah.
He's up on the mountaintop and he's coming down. And it was now, because of his physical exhaustion through all that's been done. And now with the disappointment, spiritual disappointment, the nation didn't turn as he thought it was going to turn. He thought everyone would come under God's will. They didn't do that exactly as he thought it would possibly be done. So this, Satan will take advantage. We must guard ourselves. We must make sure that we are, when times that we are on a mountaintop and times we are prayed up and times that God is dealing with us and we're dealing with the world, that we don't let our guard down. We don't become disappointed. We don't shrink back because we have spiritual times of disappointment in our life. It's then, and if we're not careful, that the devil will come in and take advantage of the opportunity afforded unto him. You know, we need to be careful not to give the devil an inch.
Right.
If you allow them to come in, if you allow the devil to get, as it were, a beachhead or a planting on your ground, and you have not protected yourself, then he will come in like a flood. I mean, that's what we did in Normandy when we landed on those coasts. We got a beachhead. And once we got the beachhead, we moved on in. We couldn't be stopped. The American forces just kept coming because we gained the ground. So we've got to be careful. That's the problem here. But with the result, I believe, which we see here in that verse 4, we see Elijah. Oh my, you know, it's like, man, I've come to my point now where it's almost a depression. It's almost a sense of despair and hopelessness in his life. Because he says, oh, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. For I'm not better than my fathers. I've gone my course, Lord. I can't take anymore. I'm the only one that's serving you. Take my life.
Yeah.
You know, well, see, it's a far better thing to be in the presence of the Lord, right?
Yes.
That's what Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So Elijah sees it's only gain to be in the presence of the Lord.
Right.
Go ahead and take my life, God. Right. I've served you. I can't take anymore. Man, I fought against the Baalism and we conquered it together. Lord, you were there. Your fire shone down upon it. You, oh God, were in my life. You have shown the people who is God. But Lord, I can't take it anymore, Lord. I'm physically exhausted. I'm spiritually, as it were, discouraged now, God. What he's doing is giving the devil an advantage here. The problem, he's got a problem. And it resulted in depression so severe that it led to his very despair.
Yes.
Now, have any of you ever despaired? No one?
Yeah.
I got a couple yeses. Yeah. People understand what despair is. Yeah. Oh my, when you get to the point of despair, you lose all faith. You lose all sight of God, as it were. When we get to a point of despair in our lives, nothing seems to be able to encourage us anymore. Nothing seems to help us any longer. Our friends may say something to us, you know, and it doesn't do anything for us. I want you to know, I even think of Job many times. Job, and we understand the problems that came upon Job's life. He lost everything in his life, and here comes these quote, three friends to help him out.
Yeah.
And oh my, you know, it seems all self-righteous on the outside. And it seems as though they're giving good instruction many a times. And when you read about them and you look at the sayings that they were saying to Job and what a sinner is like. And true, many of the things they said is true. But what they didn't understand is Job is not a sinner.
Right.
Many a times, church, we've got to see the problem in our lives. If we come to the point that we're exhausted and spiritually disappointed, if we've come to the time that we feel as though we're beginning to be depressed in our lives, let it not be given over to despair. Amen, church.
Yes.
There is a provision for us this morning. Amen. Secondly, there is a provision for us this morning. God does something for Elijah. And I want you to look at this. Verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Amen. Come on now. What was he doing? Was he out there fighting for God now? No, sir. What was the one thing Elijah needs more than anything? Rest. Sleep. You go without sleep long enough, boy, it'll just pull you down. You've got to have the sleep that's needed. God let him sleep. It seems to be what he needed most at this conjuncture in his life. Now, I'm not saying that from Brother Carl. I'm saying that from right here. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree. I mean, God wasn't down there kicking him. God wasn't down there pushing him around. God wasn't down there saying, hey, boy, get up.
Yeah.
He let him sleep. Y'all ever been so tired, you just get so disturbed if someone comes and tries to wake you up before this time? Huh? Have you ever been there? You know, you're just sleeping so good, and all of a sudden, hey, get up, get up. Whoa. Man, I was sleeping good. Why'd you wake me up, you know? I needed the rest. Saints of God, we need our rest.
Yes, we do.
Don't let the devil get advantage of us because we work ourselves to death. And we do not rest and take the needed rest that God gives us.
Amen.
We must have this rest in us. Verse 5, he also did something for him. Look, behold, then an angel touched him. Praise God. Amen. Yes. Said unto him, arise and eat. God woke him up and fed him. Elijah didn't have to go out looking for food. Praise the Lord. I want you to see how tender God is to him. How loving God is to him. In the midst of his disappointment, in the midst of his circumstance and the problem that he's undergoing right now, wanting to just die and take my life, God, God is gentle with Elijah. I want you to know God is gentle with us. God is loving toward us. He knows when we've gone our limit. He knows when we've gone the farthest we can go. He knows when we've labored and exhausted ourselves as much as we can. God knows that, and he loves us, and he cares for us, and he will take care of us. I mean, he feeds him, wakes him up. Food is there before him. God didn't just feed him, but he sent an angel to minister to him. Wow. This angel ministered to him. Woo, glory. It reminds me of the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Boy.
When he was down praying and prayed as the blood came as drops from his forehead and hit the ground. And Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And at the end of his praying, angels came down and ministered unto the Lord. I mean, we're not told exactly what the angels did for him. I don't know. But they ministered in some way to God, encouraging him, strengthening him. Their very presence alone is the favor of God that is with him. Hallelujah. Ministering angels. You know, sometimes we have angels that come among us and ministering angels that we know not. Amen. And a lot of times they'll come... They'll come at the point when we need them the most. Amen.
Right.
When we're down, when we're discouraged, when we need God to come to us and provide provision for us, God may send an angel.
Yeah.
You know, we're not to, we need to be, we need to make sure that we entertain angels. Sometimes we entertain them unawares. Amen. God is so good to us.
Yeah.
In verse 10, it says, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it. God allowed him. Now listen to me. You know how we get a lot of these folks that say, well, you know, you don't need to express yourself frankly with God. You don't need to, tell God all your problems, as it were, and just lay all that burden and care upon God. You just need to stay in faith, talk in faith, act in faith, you know. That's not what I read here through this prophet of the Lord. Because if you read here, you'll see that God has allowed Elijah to express his grief. Amen.
Yes.
And a lot of times, we don't express our grief to God. We don't express our woe to God. We're not intimate with God.
Come on, brother, go ahead.
And we don't tell him our troubles as we ought to. God allowed him to express his grief without giving him what he thought he wanted. Oh, we've got to be careful that we don't get ourselves so despondent, so down, so, as it were, in darkness away from God that we forget God is there with us, that God hears us, that God loves us. we need to appeal to Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God revealed Himself and His ways to him. Verse 11, and God said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in a fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. I like the way God reveals Himself to Elijah. The other ways in which God revealed He was a wind, an earthquake, and a fire. That's the way the prophet understood God that he served many times, because that's the way God came to him. So he knew God in these things. And he's there outside the tent, and he's looking, and he sees it, but God's not in it. He doesn't hear from him. He sees it. He feels the earthquake, but God isn't there.
Right.
Not as He used to be. Not as He was. I mean, He's the God that answered by fire.
Right. Come on.
Woo! He's the God that licked up the sacrifice and showed Himself to be the true God of Israel. But He was not in the fire this time. And all of a sudden, God reveals Himself. Isn't that wonderful? He says to him, in a still, small voice. He comes in a voice that is audible, that can be heard by Elijah. He hears God's voice. I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't care what situation you may be in today. You may be in darkness. You may feel like God is so far from you. You may feel like just Elijah, that, hey, I'm out of the sight of God. God doesn't see my circumstances. God doesn't understand. I've fought. I've labored. I've done this. Whatever the excuse may be, I want you to know God does know where you're at. God does hear your pleas. God is understanding. God is caring. God is loving. And God wants to show Himself and reveal Himself to you in that still, small voice. We've got to hear it, church. That is the provision of God. His voice to us. Him speaking to us. He is light, and in Him there is no darkness. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We must come to Jesus. We must humble before Him. God provides the provision for us all. God will also reveal good news to Elijah. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Woo! And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the word of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the word of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Amen. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Woo, praise God. God reveals unto him that good news. Sometimes we think we are just so away from, so far and so out there from God, that God doesn't hear us. God doesn't understand us. God is nowhere. He is here. He does hear, and He does understand us, church. And God wants to give and reveal unto you good news. Amen. God reassured him of His love. And that's many a times is especially we need. God loves us, church. And He revealed that to him in verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. Oh, that's what, you know, he needed to hear that.
Yes.
Elijah needed to hear that the work that he's done and the labor and the toil that he's done. And he feels like no one has turned. No one is following God. He only felt, I alone serve God.
Right.
I am alone, God. I am the only one that follows you. I mean, that's what he thought. That's how depressed he got. That's how discouraged he was through all his labors. But God reassures him here, no, sir. I've got 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Hallelujah. Woo, it must have excited him. Amen. And every mouth that have not kissed Baal. Glory to God. That would excite me as a prophet, knowing that the work that is being done and God is being honored, God is being glorified, God has his people, God is going to work his work.
Oh, yeah.
And thirdly, I want us to look at the practicalities this morning. I want you to notice God's patience. Elijah knew better than to do what he did. Now, come on, church. Let's be honest. Many times, we know better than to do what we've done many times. Elijah was God's prophet, God's man. Elijah broke the back of Baalism. Come on. Elijah knew that God was there in the fire that came down. Elijah served the one and the true God. Hallelujah. He understood. He knew better to do what he did than to run away because some woman says, I'm going to kill you. One woman's voice, hello, turned the prophet of God to running. And you would think he just got through slaying 850 prophets of Baal. What in the world is one woman? But when you become tired and discouraged and you lose the light of God, come on now, church. And you seem to have darkness come over you. I've told you the devil will take it. He'll exert his authority now. He'll try to come in. He'll try to pull you away from God. And that's exactly what he tried to do to Elijah. Get away. Run away. Your God's not going to help you anymore. Your God is through with you. Hey, come on, church. God still has patience with him.
Right.
And God still has patience with us.
Yes.
Oh, the times we have failed God. Now, I'll just put it out here. The times we haven't done what God has told us to do. The times we have not walked in the course that God has told us to walk in. The times we thought we could do it better than God. God has had patience with you and with me. He didn't bring judgment down on us. He didn't cast us into hell. Which he has all right to do. But God is good. God is caring. God is tender. God is loving. God is patient. God wants us. Hallelujah. He has much patience with the many follies that we have. Come on, church. I mean, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Well, I didn't read my Bible today. Whoop! Bam! You're gone from the earth. Come on.
Come on, brother. Go ahead.
Well, I wasn't very kind to that brother and sister in church today. Bam! You're gone. I thought evil of this one and that one. Bam! You're gone. I mean, God could be very harsh if he wanted to. Because sometimes of our own follies and our own ways that we go about and we lose the sight, as it were, that light of God. And we walk out in the flesh and we walk out in the ways of the flesh and do not discern the things of the Spirit. God is very patient with us. And he woos us back. And he comes to us and he says, this is what you need. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to secure you against all evil. God's provision makes it possible for us to go on. Hallelujah. Even though we are not patient with ourselves. God is. Secondly, God fully understands our infirmities. He knows what caused the situation in our lives. Come on now. We have an adversary, the devil. who goes about seeking about who he may destroy. Like a roaring lion, he goes forth. It's just not a roar a lion does. A lion eats. Hello? A lion kills. I want you to get this out of your minds that he just goes around roaring. No, he's out to kill you. To destroy your work. To destroy your life. The devil is out to destroy, to destroy, to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give life. Woo, he understands us. He knows what is necessary to heal our situation.
Oh, yeah.
Glory to God. Yeah. Amen. I believe if I ask for testimonies in here, many of you could rise up and say, God came in my situation and delivered me out of all my troubles. God knows what you have need of.
Amen.
He understands and he will make the way for us. There, I'm telling you, church, we need to rejoice in the God of our salvation.
Right.
Rejoice in him and love him with all of our heart. He understands our infirmities. He knows we are but man.
Yes.
He knows we are the dust of this earth. Come on now.
Yes.
And he knows how to fix this situation. We ought to deal with others as God deals with us. Oh, my.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Others fail us as Elijah failed God.
Yes.
Come on now.
Right.
Others fail us as Elijah failed God. We have the example of how to handle such failure. And it's looking to God.
Yes.
It's coming out of this blindness and this despair. And it's seeing the light and the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Right. It's seeing Jesus before us. It's holding to him. Amen. Amen. We know that Elijah was brought out of it. God will bring us out of it as well. God sustained Elijah. God will sustain us as well. God gave hope to Elijah and love to Elijah. God will give us hope and give us love in the situations that we find ourselves in. Amen. I want you to know something, and I pray God help me in this point because this is an important point, verse 3. Failure doesn't spell the end of usefulness. Woo! How many of you have failed God and said, oh, I can never do anything for God anymore. I let him down. Well, pinch yourself. We've all let God down. Okay? We have all let God down. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of us are righteous in the sense that we have done all things that please God. We have all sinned and come short or fallen short of God.
Yes.
He is holy. And our God needs to be worshiped. But sometimes we fail God. And therefore when we fail him, we feel as though we're useless. Right? Or I know I do. I have failed God at a time and I say, oh Lord, what can I do now?
Yeah.
Look at me, Lord. Oh, people will look at us and they'll look at our reputation. They'll look at the things that we've done. Possibly we brought harm to the very reputation of God and to the church.
Yeah.
You know, and we're being talked about possibly. We're being, you know, others are saying things about us or our families or this or that. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, man, everybody thinks I'm a worm. Surely I can't be of any use to God anymore. I might as well just go out and say, God, take my life now. Take me on because it's no use to me anymore. Some failures may leave scars on us. And that's true. We may fail God at times and it leaves a scar upon our heart. It hurts. And God has to come in and God has to mend that heart and God has to do that surgical repair for our hearts and make it whole again. But there's still that that little pain in there we feel at times from what we have done. I'm sure King David felt that heart pain in his life when he committed the sin with Bathsheba. I'm sure that throughout the rest of his life was there as a little pain in his heart that he failed God and didn't honor God, and he brought reproach to the name of God, and therefore, how can I be useful any longer? Look at my life. People are talking about me. My kingdom knows everything that I've done. I'm exposed before everybody. Look at my life. I'm a failure.
Come on.
God still kept him as king.
Yeah.
And he will learn through his life how to overcome. And how to be the man of God that God wants him to be. How to be the king that God wants him to be. They leave our scar. Sometimes we feel so useless. But we are not eliminated. We're not, how do I say, we're not taken out. We're here. You know, that should be a hope to us. Amen. God hasn't taken us home, you know. Our work is not done. We're still here. We're able to serve. We're able to lift up our hands. We're able to bless the Lord. Yes, I may have failed God, but God is still with me. I'm still here. I can still serve God. My failure is not going to be that I'm useless before God. You see, when you become useless, that is when you have truly failed. Come on now, church, stay with me. That's when you have truly failed. When we don't take our failures and turn them to God and say, God, lay your hand upon me and use me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Instead, many Christians stay in the dark, stay in their despondency, stay in their despair, stay in their discouragements. And they don't get the light of God. Because that's all they can think about. Look what I've done. Look what I've done. Look what I've done. Instead, they need to be saying, look who I am. I'm a child of God. And by the grace of God, I will make it. I will make it. I may have failed God, but I'm going to pick myself up by my bootstraps and I'm going to go on for God. Hallelujah. God's going to be with me. God's going to help me. God's going to deliver me. God's going to give me the light that I need and the power that I need to sustain me in this situation. I am not useless to God. He shared that with Elijah. He told him, you are still useful to me, Elijah, because I want you to go and anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, Jehu and Nimshi to be king over Israel, and Elisha to be anoint him to become prophet in your place. So here God tells him, you still have purpose. And I want you to know, you may feel like you have no purpose in life or in this church, but you do. I'm here to tell you, you do have purpose. Everyone here has purpose. And God wants to use you. God wants to show you. We have the example of Elijah. He has shown it to Elijah. He'll show it to us. Amen. He'll do it. Lastly, we need to never give up in the midst of bad circumstances. Don't give up when circumstances are bad and troubles around, church. There are yet good things in store for you. Amen. You know, if the disciples ever just gave up because every time they messed up many times with God. Oh, come on. Many of them said, oh, they even got their mom, could you go speak to Jesus and tell him who's going to be first? Who's going to sit at his right hand and his left hand? Go, mom, go ask if we're going to be able to sit at his right and left hand. Oh, they weren't seeking for position, were they? Come on now. Of course they were. They wanted to be elevated beside Jesus.
That's right.
They wanted to be, hey, I'm number one and number two. Oh, we've got to be careful, church,
yes,
that we do not look to ourselves and our circumstances, and that we ourselves would be looking unto the author and the finisher of our life, that is Jesus Christ. Focus. We need to get our focus off the past.
Right.
Now, how hard is that for some people? Very hard. They don't seem to grasp that they are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I can say that till I'm blue in the face, but until you receive that, until you believe that in your heart, then you will never be truly changed. You become new. New.
Yes, amen.
A new creature.
Come on.
A new creature in Christ.
Right.
Everything has been cast away. You're a new person. Old things are gone. Hallelujah. Get your focus off the past. Get your focus off the disappointments and the times you failed and the times you've just lost, as it were, your temper, the times you've lost, as it were, you know, your composure, the times you've lost, as it were, your speech that should be holy and the words that came out of your mouth were not holy.
Come on.
But they were hurtful.
All right,
come on. We need to get past these things, amen,
yes,
through the grace of God, and look unto the author and the finisher. Never give up.
Right.
The devil wants you to give up. The devil wants you to give in. The devil wants you to succumb to the circumstances he places possibly there in your way, and the little snares that he gets there for you to step in so that he can trap you. He wants you to put your foot in them so that you'll think upon those things and you'll dwell upon those things, and all your heart will be is in darkness. I don't want to lose the sight of God in the dark.
Come on, go ahead.
I want to make sure that I may be in the dark, but there is a penetrating light that's coming through. Hallelujah. Oh, when I lift up my hands, praise God, as Paul and Silas in the inner dungeon, down where it's dark and down where there's no light to even see, unless there is there lit a torch, they're in complete darkness. But there they sang in the dark hour. There they lifted up their hands unto God Almighty. Though their circumstance did not conducive to them, and though they were beaten and put in jail, and though everything seemed to be dark, they said, no, blessed be God Almighty. I will worship and praise Him and glorify His name.
Amen.
And I want you to know, in that dark dungeon, light begin to come in. Oh, it may have still, as it were, been dark, but you hear me. The light of Jesus Christ pierced through their hearts, hallelujah, and came and brought encouragement to them in their desperate time. And God shook that place, and it came down, and the place was opened, and God was there to meet their needs.
Amen.
Tell me. That light can't come in the darkness. And in the circumstances we don't think possible. He'll do it. He did it for Elijah. He's done it for others, church. Those three things. We had the problem, the provision, and the practicalities through it all. Would you stand with me this morning? In conclusion, there is much of encouragement in Elijah's failure and in God's handling of it. Because I see God handles Elijah, He handles me. And He takes care of my failures. He lifts me up. Hallelujah. It is easy to lose sight of God in the dark. Come on now. But it is helpful to remember this morning, church, that He never loses sight of us. No matter how dark the night, God is always with us. Just remember Elijah. Keep on going, no matter what may happen. I'm in remembrance of Paul as he's on his way to Rome and he's on the seas. And the ship was tossed in the night hours and the darkened skies for days. And there the ship being tossed to and fro, and they did everything they could to save the ship and to save their lives. And there in the midst of that darkness, and you would think, sure enough, they're going to drown. They're going to go down because the sea was against him. And yet this man, Paul, stood up in the midst of them and said, "My God has been with me this night. We shall none of us lose our lives. None of us. God has told me He is going to spare us all." In the midst of that darkness, there shone a light from the man of God. When you would think that here's Paul, I mean, what good can he do now? What possible good can he do? He's a prisoner upon a ship. No one's listened to him. He tried to warn them before they even went on sail that that voyage would be in danger. They thought he was crazy. I mean, who is he? What's he going to tell us? We're about to die out here. But Paul didn't go and look at the situation with man's eyes. Right. He went to prayer.
Right.
And he sought God.
Yes.
And God made the provision.
That's right.
For him and for all those 200 and some souls that were upon that vessel. God saved, not one man perished.
Right.
Wow. I ask you this morning, I want us to pray. Have you lost sight of God in your darkness? Then you need God's light to come to shine upon your heart. Are you exhausted this morning? Disappointed? Have you gone as far as you can go? You may even feel in despair of life itself. You know, you may be able to cover up real good before people, but deep inside you're despairing. You need the touch of God. You need God to come in. You feel like you're in darkness this morning. Then I want you to come, because God's going to provide for you. He's going to minister to you. He's going to give to you what you have need of. He's going to feed you with the Word, His words this morning. He's going to reveal good news to you. You do have hope this morning. You do have hope in Jesus Christ. Oh God. God will provide for you. He does understand your frailties. He does understand your infirmities. He does understand your, at times, you feel useless before God. I want you to pray this morning. And if God indeed is shining His light in you, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can pray for those in church who need the light of God shining in them. I want you to come. I want you to find your way to the altars this morning. I'd like the pianist to come to the piano, if you would, sister, and just play for us. But the rest of us, I want you to find your place this morning and truly ask God, because God is a God of tender love and tender care. Be honest with God, as Elijah was honest before God, and say, "Lord, have I lost sight of you in my dark hour?" Come, church.